I think one of the mistakes all of us make is...
So the big question is, what are top agents doing to absolutely crush it in real estate, grow their teams and add more transactions year over year while so many struggle? To get the answers, we interview top real estate agents to learn their secrets to success. Listen, we believe every agent should make a minimum of $100,000 per year, and we're on a mission to make this happen. We've already helped over 100 agents achieve this with our coaching. So if you want to fast track your business growth, get to your first $100,000 in GCI or add another $100,000 in GCI using social strategies, then head over to go.eliteagentsecrets.com or you can just click the link in the description below. Also, just make sure to follow us, hit that subscribe button, and if you get any value from this at all, please tell a friend and leave us a review. My name is Andrew Dunn.
And my name is Peter Michael. Welcome to Elite Agent Secrets.
Hey everyone, and welcome to this episode of the Elite Agent Secrets show. Today we've got Adam D'Annunzio with us. He's been in real estate for 10 years, started at the ripe age of 22. He's in the top 1% of agents in the Jersey Shore region, and he's doing over 50 deals per year as a solo agent, got a very small team of VAs and helping with the odd thing here and there, but this guy's out there crushing deals himself. Today we're going to be diving into some juicy topics. Adam, thank you for coming on the show with us today to share your secrets to success. How are you doing, my man?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me. Look forward to sharing my knowledge and, you know, wisdom with your guests. Anything I could do to help, this is awesome.
Dude, I love having somebody from my old stomping ground, from the tri-state area. We were just talking about this. We pretty much practically neighbors, right?
So yeah. What's so cool about that is anytime I see New Jersey, everybody's like, oh, New York. And I'm like, no, we don't go to New York City. You know, we're the Philadelphia suburbs.
South Jersey, especially right? Like the South Jersey area, right? Like if you're North Jersey, like Hoboken and all those areas, yeah, that's New York for you. But in the South Jersey, Philly all day long. Yep. That's actually where I moved from before I was down here in Florida and Boca. So
yeah, same here.
And I'm going to be there tomorrow. Heading back to New York, baby. I don't think I'll head over the shore. I don't think I'll head over the bridge. I mean, it's a bit, I don't want to risk my life. You know, but take us back the way we love to start this show. 22 years old, you made the worst decision of your life going during this. So take us back to 10 years. In all seriousness, what made you want to get into real estate? And take us on a bit of a journey of the last 10 years. You know, how many deals you did and some of the lessons along the way.
Yeah. So my story, not super exciting, but dropped out of college. I did not have much money. I'm delivering pizzas, working at a restaurant. And I think that I need to go back to school. Problem is I have all these student loans that I haven't paid, right? So I show up at the community college. And I'm like, well, what can I do? How do I get into classes? And they're like, well, you can't take out more student loans. And I was like, well, what's just like the cheapest class I can take here? And they're like, well, we got a real estate license for $400. And I was like, all right, sold. I'm going to do that. Right. So I went to the local community college and I got my real estate license. And it's always something I kind of thought about doing because, you know, my parents had a summer house in this area in Ocean City. And, you know, I always saw them interacting with real estate agents and they would rent the property and all. So it was always something that kind of excited me. Although in hindsight, I had no idea, nothing about real estate. I thought it was about opening doors and showing properties, which we know is not the case. So I got my real estate license. What I did when I first started, because I needed money really bad, was I started doing summer rentals, which is very common in our market here. You know, we're doing short-term vacation rentals, and I made very little money my first couple of years in real estate and quickly recognized that I had to get out of rentals and get into sales. And so at that point, I left the small kind of mom and pop brokerage I was at and moved to Keller Williams. And I was a very kind of tech savvy internet lead generation guy. And what I was doing was I was getting all of these leads coming in, but I wasn't selling any real estate. And what I learned was I got into coaching and I figured out I had no idea what I was saying, what I was doing. I had all the leads, but I wasn't converting anybody. So I kind of went back to old school, got a coach, learned all the scripts and dialogues, kind of became a master at that, then went back to doing my online lead generation again, where now I knew what to say, how to handle myself with the client. And that's where things really, you know, kind of started to take off. And that was, you know, I want to say 5-6 years ago or so. I don't think I've ever had a decline year over year. You know, we've been growing every year. And, you know, what I've worked on most recently is, you know, just trying to grow a small team and trying to leverage myself in the areas that we know are performing really well.
So when you got into it in those first fateful years, do you remember how many deals you did in your first year? Was it like two? Was it 10?
I think I did one deal at the very, very end of my first year, which was just like crazy. Like I never thought it was going to take that long. And I think the second year, I maybe only did like four deals or something like that. You know, I wasn't, as much as I wish I wasn't one of those people that, you know, hit the ground running. Fortunately, I had those rentals that kind of kept me afloat as I was working through that. But once I started getting a taste of those commissions and what the sales life was like, that's like I said, when I completely left and abandoned rentals and said, hey, you know, I'm starting my sales business. And that's when I learned that I was a business owner, not an employee, by the way. You know, and that's when I really started to build this.
It's a huge mindset shift, isn't it? That
so huge mindset. Why do you think it took you, quote unquote, so long? Like where was that? Like
roadblock.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I think at that time there was a lot of education out there, but it was right on the cusp of, I don't even know if there were podcasts, there was no such thing as this podcast at that time. Right. So you had to go get the CD from a coach and put the CD in your car while you're driving and start to try and there was nobody. I didn't have a mentor. I didn't have anybody to learn from. I didn't even know where to find that at. I was still stuck in that mindset of like I had a job and I was supposed to show up every day and the business was supposed to come to me. I didn't recognize I had to go out and get it.
Yeah. The interesting pivot, did you see an uptake in deals specifically from the shift from like employee to like, actually I own a fucking business and it's just dawned on me that I own like a real business and I don't get paid if I don't produce.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I think that's what the blessing is in a, you know, commission based business owner is that you feel that, you know, your boss is your bank account every day. And so definitely once you make that mindset shift, it's night and day.
And what was the cause for you to make that shift? I mean, this is one of the things that we teach and coach on a lot is like, you're not an employee. You are an entrepreneur. You are a business owner. Like you only get paid, you only eat what you kill in this world. I mean, there is obviously some people that do W-2 teams, but that's a whole different ball game. You know, we're not talking about that. We're talking about, you know, you've gone and paid your $400, got your license, and you're now hunting after, you know, those 10K commission checks. And it's like, They think they're somehow employed by their broker. I mean, I hate to say it, your broker don't give a shit if you fail.
No.
Like, correct. What difference does it make to their life? None. Because you're not producing anyway. So it's like, you've got to figure this out. And yeah, so what was that? Was this like your own kind of self-reflection that you went, shit, like I've got to do this for me? Or was it someone who kind of slapped you around the face metaphorically and was like, you are a business owner. This isn't a job.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was very much myself. I was very self-motivated and it was very money motivated. You know, I knew that I needed income. I mean, I had nowhere to live. I was, you know, staying at friends' places, trying to rent an apartment. It was very, very, you know, financially motivated, which was a good thing in the sense that I knew I had to make money. That didn't mean it was compromising the way that I, you know, was conducting business, but it gave me that motivation to get started, right? And I did, you know, I grew up, like my dad was an entrepreneur. He was a business owner. So I had some of that in my background to know what that meant. And there was no, you know, I never had that belief of, you know, a job's 9 to 5, for example. You know, I knew that it was, you know, early mornings, late nights, doing whatever I had to do. But the switch flipped when I realized how much there was to learn. You know, that there was nobody, you talked earlier about the real estate license where I thought I was going to learn something in that class, which, you know, I didn't, of course, right? And so I didn't recognize the fact that part of being a business owner was I also had to learn how to do this. And, you know, that took me a couple of years. And like I said, you know, it started by hiring a coach and somebody who could show me and try to condense time because it would have taken me a whole lot longer if I never got a coach.
Yeah.
So I think one of the most important things that you're talking about here also is, not only did you have to learn real estate, aka the buy, the sell, the rent, the contracts, and everything that comes from learning how to do all of that in real estate, but you also had to learn the business side, aka how to run like a business, cost, expenses, investments, you know, probably even how to do your books, how to do your accounting, how to do the taxes and all these other intricacies that we just don't talk about when you're quote unquote running a real estate business, because it's not directly impacting you to be able to buy and sell. However, at the end of the year, when that bill comes from Uncle Sam, you still have to know how to CYA yourself and do all of that. So you either hire those positions, right? Or you fulfill those positions. And when you're in real estate, you have to learn how to wear many hats at once. But most people think you're only wearing a hat of a realtor, right?
Right. Well, and that's the thing that always gets under my skin, to tell you the truth, is the public and even people who want to be a realtor, right? They're so focused on opening the door and showing a house. And it's the least important position within the real estate cycle from lead generation through to a closing table. But that's what the outside perception is. The other outside perception is, you know, that folks think that the real estate agent's just sitting on the sofa at home eating a pizza and waiting for them to call so they could run out and show a house. And they don't think about those things, like you said, right?
Sign me up.
Yeah, they don't understand all the different components, right? They think that we're overpaid, glorified salespeople, right? But they don't realize that when that 10K commission check comes in, we got to pay taxes, we got to pay expenses, we got to feed our families and everything else that went into actually generating that quote unquote check. Right. And then what happens afterwards, right? The other thing is also, I know this is big for everybody who's not used to getting like big commission checks, is knowing what that runway is, what you're getting, and how to make it last longer than you think you need to. What I mean by that is when you show up to work every single day, every 2 weeks, you're going to get a paycheck. You're going to know that 2 weeks after that, as long as you show up, you're going to get a paycheck. With real estate, you can quote unquote get a paycheck, but that shit may have to last you 30, 60, 90 days because you may not be able to convert something. Or if you get something that goes under contract today, well, guess what? It's not like you're like, I'm not going to eat for the 30 days. I'm just going to eat on day 31 after I show up to the closing. You still have to keep that coming in and make things work.
It's the money management aspect. And kind of speaking about management, this comes into your first topic quite nicely, which is scheduling, showing up every day and being consistent with your actions. This is enormous. Again, this is something that we're massive on. It's like the person that wins is the one that's the most consistent and persistent. It's like just keep doing the same actions over and over again. And also, one thing that I think people get confused with is they think it's a race, right? And it's not. Like you said, you were like, first few years, basically, dog shit. Like it struggled. Like I had to figure some stuff out. I had to do this and I was struggling. And then now you're doing over 50 deals a year. And it's like, but this didn't happen overnight for me. I know some people get there in their first year and that's awesome, but that wasn't me. And people have this like comparison, like, oh, I'm shit because I'm not there now. It doesn't matter when you get there. No one says on your 50 deals a year, it doesn't say took Adam 10 years get to this.
Correct. Correct.
But the money is still green and you can still buy shit with it. So talk to us a bit more about your first topic.
Yeah. So to me, it's just about showing up every day. And that's a mindset thing, right? So we can talk about a lot of skills and that's kind of my expertise. But I know if you don't have your mindset right, doesn't matter how good your skills are. So showing up is very much, particularly when you're beginning, operate your day, not who you are right now, but who you want to be, right? So if you're going to be the CEO of your real estate team, I don't care if you're only doing one deal a year, show up that way every day. And that doesn't mean treating this like a job or 9 to 5 or waiting for your boss to tell you what to do, right? You need to have a daily schedule and set parameters in your life of what you should be doing every day, what those tasks are that are going to help you, you know, reach your goal or accomplish where you want to get to. That is very much a daily schedule thing to me. It's also kind of some of the rituals or daily habits you will have. You know, what do you do when you wake up in the morning? Are you doing some type of mindfulness or meditation? Are you going to the gym? Are you working out? You know, that even starts the night before, right? Like what am I prepared to do in the morning so I don't have to think about it when I wake up?
So how would you break down when you're helping other agents? I know you were speaking about off air and I know you said you do help coach people in your market center as well. Why don't we, you know, take us through a little bit of that. If someone, whether they're experienced or newer, how you would coach them through setting up a schedule and a routine, because for us, it's like, there isn't one size fits all. I've spoken about this a lot. For me, it's like 5 tasks a day. I don't set hour by hour because it doesn't work for me, but there is other people like Peter who's a little bit more regimented like that as best he can. Like he'll time block and he'll be like, I want to get this done within that hour. I'm not so much like that, apart from set meetings, but let's walk through for our listeners, if you were to help them set a schedule and a routine that would get an outcome and a result that would help them achieve their goals.
Yeah. So, well, you hit the nail on the head. Everybody's unique. So I think for somebody who's mentoring or coaching an agent, the first step you have to do is really try and understand what that agent's personality like is, what they're best at, right? And so that's one of the big things. You could do this on your own too, but you have to figure out who you are and who your ideal client is, how you're going to conduct business, right? Because that's going to affect how you set up your day. Meaning, for example, if you're the social agent and you're meeting everybody outside at the bar or you're meeting them at the gym or whatever it may be, that's a little bit different than somebody like me who's, you know, doing SEO and pay-per-click advertising and I got, you know, leads coming in, right? But I believe there's a few foundations, and one of them, like I said earlier, is getting your head right. So, you know, waking up, doing, you know, for me, it's some type of education, whether it's reading a book, listening to a podcast, you know, getting your brain just starting to think about what it is you need to do every day. You know, maybe you're acquiring some ideas from other folks. You know, I think that you need to get a workout in the morning, get your heart rate up. You know, all those things are going to affect your brain chemicals, you know, just so you're motivated, you know, you're ready to go for that day. What's unique to some folks is, you know, some people you'll find if you really pay attention to yourself, you could take notes and journal this every day, but there's something we call like the power hour. Like what time of day are you most effective? You know, for a writer, it might be when you're most creative, right? For somebody who's doing phone prospecting, it's when they can really push through that and power through it. I would find that time of day, it could be in the night for some folks. You know, for me, I know that's in the morning, that I got to, you know, get that stuff out of the way in the morning. So usually we're going to start by, you get into the office by 8:30 after you've done that mindfulness techniques, and get in the office by 8:30 and start with whatever your top lead generation activity is. Historically, that's always been cold calling or calling expireds or calling FSBOs, but that's not everybody. You know, if you're blogging and doing SEO, then that's what you should be doing first thing, right? And then leave, you know, for me, I leave my afternoons kind of as my flex time, right? If I have appointments, I go on appointments. If I need to do something else, I do that in the afternoon, or, you know, I'm just continuing through, lead follow-up. And so at some point you're going to get to a point in your business where you've done so much lead generation that you've built this really big database, and the lead follow-up will overtake the lead generation. And you'll actually end up spending more of your day on lead follow-up than you will on lead generation.
Do you find that, do you still talk to clients in the morning? Do you ever compromise that time?
Well, I'd be lying if I said I didn't compromise it. Would, you know, should I compromise it? No. I mean, that should be your most protected time is your lead generation, lead follow-up. You know, that actually comes before going on your appointments.
Well, the reason I'm asking specifically is because, yeah, like I have some clients that literally 8 o'clock call me on the dot, you know, and I'm cool with that. I'm cool if you call me after 8 o'clock, because before 8 o'clock, typically it's like time with the family, helping with the babies, you know, maybe having some breakfast, whatever. But I do find myself that sometimes the dedicated time that I have for lead generation or for building my business and working on my business, not in my business, does get sucked up by clients, for example. And I don't mean that in like a negative or bad way.
Does.
I mean, it's just like they call me in the morning, things kind of need to get going. They want to maybe go see houses the next day. So I don't want to not take their call, because I will have some people that will call me until I pick up. So I have had to set and reset those expectations a little bit. But I also don't want to be taking that client call at 8 o'clock in the morning when I have other shit that I need to kind of get through.
Well, there's a couple of thoughts on that. Number one, I'll say that you have to adjust on this based off of the market, right? So we're in a market right now where if you wait to call that client back and it's a buyer and you have to show them a property and you're the one doing that, you may have lost out on it by waiting a day, right? So we have to be mindful of that, that there's going to have to be some compromise because of the market we're in. But there's also setting expectations. And, you know, like, I'm a big tech guy, so the other realtors have a different phone number for me. My clients have a different phone number for me. My personal family and friends have a different phone number for me, right? And that's
have
how
like
I...
four phones.
Well, I don't have any, I got one phone, but I got software that allows me to have a bunch of different phone numbers, right? But you know, that's one of the ways. And you know, I'll have a Calendly link just like you do that I share with my clients. They can look on that calendar anytime and see when they're available, you know, or when I'm available to speak with them.
That's a pretty cool idea. And what do you do? Like set like 15, 30 minutes aside and they can just click it and book it and they got you or?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm sure you have this happen to you every day. Most of my day is a lot of time wasted with phone tag, right? I call them, they don't answer, they call me, I'm on another call. So, you know, because when somebody doesn't pick up, I just move on to the next call.
You're not picking up, but you were talking to somebody else.
Exactly. And because that goes back to what we were saying earlier, their perception is you're sitting on the sofa eating a pizza, right? Waiting. And so some of the stuff you have to do just to demonstrate to your client that you are a professional. I want to be treated like they would treat their accountant or their attorney. And I want to be treated the same way. And I try and build my business that way. So using the Calendly link is really easy. You know, I have it set up in 20-minute, you know, call increments. And that's how I tell them. I'm like, look, if you don't want to play phone tag, here's the link. You can go here anytime, grab a block, and I'm going to call you exactly, you know, on the dot, whatever that time is. Otherwise, it's just a system of text messages and even autoresponder text where they call, we send a text right away. It just says, hey, you know, I'm on another call. I'm on an appointment right now. They don't need to know the reason, you know, what the appointment is. The appointment might be that it's my lead generation time. And then, you know, I will tell them in the text what time I'm calling them back at. And if it's an emergency, you know, I don't know how many emergencies actually exist in real estate, but they'll tell me, they'll text it to me if it is.
I love it. It's like in real estate, like we're not performing open heart surgery. You know, we're not doctors.
Yeah.
The deal may be falling apart. It may feel like the end of the world, but at the end of the day, it's still not the end of the world, right?
Right. Yeah.
So,
and I always relate it to the mortgage companies and title companies get everything done somehow on a 9-to-5 business schedule, right? So like nothing can happen without the mortgage or the title company anyway. And they're not available 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it kind of comes down to the whole boundaries and expectations thing, doesn't it? It all stems from there. And I think newer agents especially fall into the whole, I'll just be 24/7. You're like, this is a bad deal. Right? Don't do this.
Yeah.
This is not good.
Well, one of the things too, is that when you set up these systems, like I think one of the mistakes all of us make is we create the systems after we've already found some success in real estate. But if you did it the right way, you'd have those systems set up front so that when you start taking listings and you're getting 300 phone calls a day on your listings, now you don't have a system. You don't know who's calling, who it is, who I need to prioritize. But when you have a correct system or a CRM that could say, hey, this is one of my A clients. I know who's coming through versus this is another realtor trying to not follow the MLS and schedule a showing on my, you know, on one of my listings.
So you just said something super key. I have a CRM, I have a software, I have a system that allows me to kind of, you know, filter through things so I can be more effective, more efficient.
Correct.
Help us understand, like, what does that look like? What should we prioritize so we can kind of declutter our life from 1.5 million phone tags and pointless, dumb conversations? What does that look like?
Yeah, so I use Follow Up Boss for a CRM. I absolutely love Follow Up Boss. They have a feature in there that they call inboxes, which you could assign a phone number to each inbox. So one of the things I mentioned is, one of the things I learned is I had to give other real estate agents a different phone number than what my clients have. Because the real estate agent often doesn't follow what's in the MLS. You know, we have showing time. We have all the information in agent
reports. Like 9 out of 10 times, they don't fucking look at the documents, the supplements, seller disclosures that you upload in there. You get 1.5 million questions. You should have just read the fucking listing.
Exactly, right? So I have to make sure that I have things categorized in a way where when that agent who's not following the MLS, I don't want to confuse them with a client or a lead who needs my help. Right. So you're prioritizing what's most important, because with some of the ways that we conduct business, particularly with an internet lead, we know that speed to lead is extremely important. And so I have to be very fast for that lead, or, you know, that realtor.com lead that comes in, for example. But I don't have to be as quick for the real estate agent who's not following the MLS. And so we're able to categorize that and follow up us with the different phone numbers that we use. And then I know what type of call is coming in, so I know what to answer.
It's actually a really nice strategy. I like that a lot.
I actually want to dig into that a little bit deeper. Sure. So in your CRM, one number gets assigned, so it doesn't get forwarded to your phone. It gets forwarded to like some kind of like an inbox.
So, for example, we're running some Google click to call ads, right? Mm-hmm. So I create a new inbox and follow up boss, give the phone number that's assigned to that inbox to the Google ad. And then when somebody calls that phone number, I can set up the CRM to only send that phone call to me. If you're operating a team, you could send it to every agent on the team. And then you could put the caller ID in your cell phone to say Google lead or money signs, whatever. You got to pick up when this call comes.
Yeah, we do something similar.
Right. I like that. Yeah. Now this is good because like we have something similar, I think, but we don't even, the Calendly link one, even though we use it all the time, we've never thought about doing that.
And yeah, like why the hell am I not pushing my clients to just, hey, book a time with me?
Because we use Calendly links for everything else. Every other meeting, it's like, hey, just schedule the time.
I mean, shit, you booked on this podcast through our Calendly link.
It gives you the convenience and us. It's like, hey, these are our times. You find one that fits you and whichever day or times that are available. And that then it is what it is. But it's hilarious because we literally do this every day. And not once have we gone, why don't we do this for our real estate clients?
You have to set the expectations though, right? Because it's going to be really tough when you start to do that. Because again, not to beat the dead horse, but depending on what the public or the client's perception is of you, they're not going to follow that until they start to treat you like a professional. Because I always think it's hilarious when, like one of these Google ads we're running, right? Somebody's searching for the best real estate agent in the area. And then they want the person with the most experience, but they also expect that they're going to answer the phone immediately too.
Yeah.
Which never makes sense to me because like, how do you want the guy with the most experience, but at the same time, somebody who's always able to answer the phone. So they're never on an appointment, right? How does that make sense?
Yeah.
But when you start to explain to your clients that, look, I'm a professional. I want to make sure that I'm giving you 110% of my attention. And if you schedule this way, I'm blocking everybody else out. I'm only focusing on you for that phone call, right? Versus the, hey, I'm talking to you now. I'm emailing this person over here and texting this person at the same time, right? And you're distracted.
Oh, and by the way, if you're interested in gaining access to our course and coaching programs, then head over to go.eliteagentsecrets.com.